Praise the Lord. Well, I understand you ladies had a great time. Guys, we're going to have to pick it up now and get ready for the men's conference. Start putting it on your Facebooks, on your social media. Start putting it out there, okay? So we're going to have a great one. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is stating here that he hadn't attained all that God had for him. He still believed that God had more. And that's what I want to talk about. There is more for you. He declared he was pressing on or pursuing all that God had for him. Now, you know, in order to have the motivation to press on and receive, you have to believe that God has more for you than you've already received. You know, some people seem to be, they seem to get to a place and they're dissatisfied. Well, you should never be satisfied, because God always has more for you. Now, I'm talking about more on the material side, more on the spiritual side, in both directions. You know, some people want to make it all spiritual and some people want to make it all natural. But listen, we are a spiritual being, but we live in a natural world. In fact, I say it like this: we live in two worlds at the same time. We live in the spiritual world and the natural world. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, you still live in a spiritual world and a natural world. One of them is not very good. The other one is. You know, they just become satisfied. And they're not pressing on for more. They're just saying, well, this is all right. And you know what? I've lived a few years. Well, I've been in church all my life. I was born on a Sunday morning in my dad's church the next Sunday, and I've been involved with it all my life. But, you know, these people are usually the ones that are always complaining about having and not having enough and nothing ever changing in their life. Well, the reason is because they never press on to get anything else. Oh, I better leave that alone. Go on. You know, we need to lift up our eyes and begin to realize that God has more, much more, much, 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 much more. Turn to your neighbor and say, much more. Now, you know what? Many times the enemy comes to you speaking to your mind, or some people can do it sometimes. Tell you, well, you know, man, God has really blessed you. Now you just need to be satisfied where you're at. And they listen and they never receive any more than where they are. I have never been satisfied with second best or second place. Who said that? That was that you that said that? My wife said, that's for sure. But, hey, you know what? We just had the Olympics. I guarantee you that most of you can probably remember who got the gold medal, but you don't remember who got the silver or the bronze, unless it's your family member or something, or somebody, a friend of yours. I never liked second place. And I always did everything I could to make sure that I came out on top. You know, if I got playing sports and I got assigned to the second team, you never seen a guy play so hard and work so hard in all your life, because I didn't like being a bench warmer, and I never was one very long, because I would put out the effort to get to be first string. I want you to notice Paul says here, he said that he forgot the things that are behind and reaching forward are pressing on. That indicates to me that he was putting some effort into reaching out to receive more of God's blessings. Now, you know, a lot of people start well, but they don't finish. Hello? He wants you to start, and he wants you to finish. And in fact, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's probably some of you that's got projects laying in the garage or laying over in the workroom or something that you started and they're not finished. Now, I know none of y'all done that, but I... Hello. You know, your attitude has to be, it's never good enough. God has more. You know, the Israelites, they're going into the promised land. They believed that God had more for them. And they went through the Red Sea, and they went through all the journey to get to the promised land. They get there, and something changed their thinking. 10 spies came back and said, it's a great place. It's a land that's got everything that we need. It's fantastic. But we can't go there. There are giants there. And you know, two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, yeah, we can do it. God has given us the land. Let us go up at once and take it. But they believed the report of the 10 spies. They said, oh, we wanted to get there. We've gotten here. We wanted to go there so bad. But there's giants there, so we can't go. You know what? That's what the enemy is going to do to you. Every time that you have gotten to right to the point of victory, he's going to throw a giant at you. That's when you've got to believe that God has much more for you and just put your foot in the ground and say, no, Mr. Devil, I'm going on. You cannot keep me from getting my more. Hello? Y'all there? You're going home already. Or you already gone to lunch. You know, really, the thing that kept them out of the blessing of God was they quit believing what God said. God said, I'm giving you the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, we're well able to take the land. Why were they making that statement? Because they believed what God said. He said, I'm giving you the land. He has given us our land. And it's right here, and all we have to do is to believe it, and the more keeps coming. The more keeps coming. You know, can you imagine them traveling all the way to get to the edge? And the promised land is right across, you might say, you know, across the river, across the Jericho River, the Jordan River. It would be like us getting to what we would call the threshold of a door, and we're hungry, and we're thirsty, and we're tired, and we can see there's a table over there. It's got everything you need on it, and all you have to do is step across and go. But there may be something there that's in your way. You've got to take what the scripture said and listen. Nothing's going to stop me. I can tread. Now, the Bible says scorpions and serpents, all that. But that means anything that's trying to steal from you and destroy you, because the devil said, oh, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You got to just pick up your foot and say, and walk on to much more. Thank God for what you had, but we got to go for more. He wants us to receive the abundance. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. You know, we've got to believe that. And actually, there's too many scriptures, and I'm just going to read a few. See, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall be in want. No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. We could read it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be without. Same thing. Psalms 37:3-4, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pastures, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, Matthew 6:33, we read that all the time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. One says added unto you. Now, what is going to be added? What's going to be given? Read the scriptures up before that, and he's telling you not to worry about food, not to worry about clothes. The essentials that you need in life is actually what he's talking about. And he said, if you will follow after him, seek him first, these things will be given to you. You don't even going to have to believe for them. Oh, now that's another subject, and I don't have time to go there. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive, and you shall have them, or it will be yours. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you might through his poverty become rich. That's not just talking about spiritual. In Philippians 4:19, we all know it. My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. 1 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. NLT says, dear friends, I hope all is well with you, that you are healthy in body as you are strong in the spirit. You know, I'm talking about more. And y'all have heard me say this before, but Grandma, my mom's mom, Grandma, she loved to cook. And back when I was really young, she used to have come to the farmhouse. A lot of the people from the church would come to the farmhouse for dinner, Sunday dinner. Or if any of the, you know, any of the family we ever come in. She never just didn't have one meat. She'd have two. She always had some fried chicken. Anthony, wherever you're at, Anthony always talking about the fried chicken. She always had fried chicken, and most of the time, either some pork chops or ham, because Grandpa always, he didn't have cattle, but he always raised one hog the butcher, so we have meats, you know, ham and pork chops and bacon and sausage and all that stuff. And we always had a bunch of chickens. Man, I was 5 years old one day, and Grandma was cooking in the kitchen. Get away. I said, "Yeah, Grandma, what do you want?" "See that old rooster out there? He's just ripe for frying." What she meant was, go out there and wring his neck. I learned how to do that when I was 5 years old. Anybody else ever done that before? And then get out of the way, because he's going to flop everywhere and blood's going to be going all over the place. The next part of that I didn't like, because she always had this big old kettle out in the backyard and always had fire under it. You build a fire there and you get that water boiling really, really hot. And you take it by his legs and you dip it down in there a couple of times and pull him out to get all those feathers off of him. And it didn't smell very good either. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So she always had that. And you'd be there eating, and man, the vegetables and the bread. I mean, you'd have at least three vegetables, and then it'd be homemade bread, you know. Biscuits and cornbread, both. And then there would always be dessert. But any time that any of the dishes got lost, she said, "Don't worry about it. There's more where that came from." Because she had more in the kitchen. She always cooked. You could feed an army, you know. Anybody old enough to remember grandmas that cooked. Keep your hand up. How many of you, when they cooked, you could feed an army with their food? Wave your hand. I mean, there was more food there than you could eat. But she wanted to make sure that everybody had as much as they wanted. God has given us the Word of God, and it tells us that we can have as much as we want. It's up to us to get it. He's already provided. She provided the food. Now, if you're going to eat it, you're going to have to go in there and set at the table and get it. God has a table spread. On that table is everything you need, from material blessings to spiritual blessings. So pull up to the table. Get your napkin and start reaching over. Don't get a little spoon. Get a big spoon. Get a big helping. And just help yourself eat and then go back, because I don't care if the bowl gets to look like it's getting more. God said there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. Hallelujah. But you know, before you ever can go ahead and get that, you got to believe there's more. You got to believe it before you can have it. There's a lot of people that are talking it, but they're not believing it and they're not having it. And they wonder why. Well, the Word ain't working. I told one guy one time, I said, "Well, you just talking, you not believing." He's talking about, I'm blaming God for a new car. That's what he said anyway. I said, "No, you're not." "What do you mean?" I said, "If you really were believing for a new car, you would go clean that garage out so you could get the car in it." I said, that's your storeroom, and there's not even room. You couldn't even get a car in there if you had one. If you really believe you're going to get a car, you believe in for one, you clean the garage out, you go and buy stuff to keep it clean with, wash it, keep it clean. Hello? You prepare for the car. If you really believe what the Word says, you prepare to receive it. Thank you. Thank the Lord for those 25 amens. Somebody's getting it anyway. You know, somebody said, well, I just lost everything. Well, you may have lost everything in the material side, but you haven't lost everything if you've still got your faith and believe what the Word of God says. All that material stuff that you lost can be restored to you. The Bible says so. I believe it, and that settles it. That's it written into my Bible. I got it from my dad. Bible says it. I believe it. And that's it. Settles it. It's written right here. Right underneath it, I got K.E. Hagin, and then I put K.W. Hagin. That's Dad and me. Craig can write it, and he can put C.W. Hagin there. Blake sitting there, he was telling me the other day, we was talking. He said, you know, Poppy, I can write that in my Bible, and I can put K.E. Hagin. That's my great-grandfather. Then your name, K.W. Hagin, and then my dad, C.W. Hagin. And then he said, I can put me, B.K. Hagin. Blake Kenneth Hagin, that's him. He told me that the other day. You remember that, Blake? And so you got to believe it, though. One thing to write it, one thing to say it, it's another thing to believe it, especially when the enemy is throwing everything he can at you. Like some people say in the kitchen sink, and I ain't even figured that out yet. I've never seen anybody throw a kitchen sink at anybody. How many of you have heard that saying most all your life? And you don't even know where it came from or what it even means. Well, you know what it means. It means all trouble's coming against you. I don't know where it got. I don't know where it come from. You know, we got a lot of sayings that you don't know where it come from. Hello. Raining cats and dogs. I ain't ever seen any rain with cats and dogs, have you? Lynette's brother, he went online and found some stuff. And actually, it says that the cats and the dogs used to get up in the hay that people had on top of the houses in the old days. It wasn't a thatch roof. It was just hay on top up there in those sod houses and stuff. And when it started raining, the rain would come down and wash the cats and dogs out, and they'd fall off down there. I don't know whether that's true or not. That's what it said on the internet. And the problem is, a lot of people believe everything that's on that computer, and a whole bunch of it ain't true. I'm going to leave that alone right there. You know, people then start, you know, they lose something and they start blaming God. Well, there's the first mistake, because God ain't ever took nothing away from you. He wants to give you more. It's the devil that takes it away from you. It's the devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. In fact, my dad wrote a little book. It's out there in the bookstore called Don't Blame God. God, and that's not taking your loved ones. God is not destroying you and trying to kill you. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you more than you've got right now. But you got to believe it if you're going to receive it. See? You know, when earthly things come along and you lose some stuff, hey, don't get upset. Because if you've still got your faith and the Word of God, you can come back with more than you had to begin with. Now, someone said, how can you say that? Well, you haven't read the book of Job. Some people call it Job. Sort of like my brother-in-law, the next brother. We just went down and he celebrated his 70th birthday. And we went to a surprise party. He was really surprised that he was more surprised that we were there than he was the party, and he was glad we was there. But he's the president of Inwood Bank Shares in Dallas. And one of his loan officers came to him one time and said, Gary, this church don't have enough tithe. And he said, what are you talking about? Well, see here, when their income, they don't have enough tithe. He said, man, what's the matter with you? That's tithe. Of course, his dad's a preacher, you know. Sometimes I think people are like that with when they're reading the Word of God, or like some people, you know, I think when God was handing out the brains, they thought he said trains and said, I don't want none. I don't know whether you ever met anybody like that, but through 85 years, I met a bunch of people like that. They were, you know, they were there, but they didn't have any lights. They had all the lights. That's the way some people are when it comes to the things of God. God has more than you could ever ask or think. The Bible tells us that. Yet we don't even go back and think about it. Have you ever read there? That about in there? He has more than we can ask or think. Anybody ever read that? 14 people have. Praise the Lord. And the rest of y'all get in the Bible and read, and you'll find out that God has more than you ever thought that you could have. I never thought I would be in my church like this, or our church, or God's church, really. I'm just a caretaker. With a crowd like this, traveling all over the world in my own plane, preaching to thousands of people. One time in Nigeria, there were 2 million people there. Another time in Nigeria, I preached to two services and 50,000 each one is at a church. That's 100,000. Man, when Ananda got married, we just thought if we could ever just have a church of 300, go to Hawaii one time, drive a Cadillac car, man, we have it made. But I began to realize that you can believe God for things. And I also began to realize as you follow God and what he tells you, things begin to come to you. Just like he said, if you seek me, these things will be given to you or added to you. Come on now. Let's begin to think in our natural mind and our spiritual mind bigger than we have ever thought before. Because there's more. God has more for you. He has more for you. You know, all you got to do is learn how to believe God and send the ministering spirits out. I pray that probably once a day. I always pray it at night. Lord, thank you. My prayer before I go to bed, thank you that send the ministering spirits out and I have a figure and I said finances to come. Send the ministering spirits out, cause the students to come. You can do that for your own self personally. Where did I learn that? From a fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Any of you ever heard, how many of you ever heard him preach personally? I'm not talking about on tape, personally. Keep your hands up. How many of you ever heard him say what I was just talking about right there? Wave your hand. You ever heard him say that? Yeah. He said, you got to say it. If you need finances, I don't know whether it's on MP3 or whether it's still on just a CD. I pulled it out of a series called Faith for Saying It for Finances. And it's back there in that bookstore. You know, I've used that because that's the way we got. When he went out on the road in 1949, I'm going to tell you what. That was the middle of my third grade year. From the middle of my third grade year until my eighth grade year, it was rough. But in the seventh grade, he came home from one of his meetings. He'd been gone for 8 weeks. And he came home and he said, "Listen, I found out, I've been praying, and I found out we never had any trouble getting healed, because he got healed off of bed affliction. We got to do the same thing for finances that I did for healing. We got Mark 11:23. Say it, believe it, receive it. Okay? So we started that. That was in the seventh grade. It took us to the eighth grade. It took a year before it all really began to really come in. And we had to keep saying it when it didn't look like it was going to work. Because Dad said, God has more for us. We got to realize that God has more, and we can't be satisfied where we are. We got to keep speaking the word and going forward. That's what Paul said. I press. You know what he said? I reach. I press forward. Hey, thank God for all the blessings that you have had. They were great. But reach out and begin to say, God, I'm going for more. I'm going for more. Thank God for what I got. I'm going for more. Now look at this. In Luke 5:3, we've all read this story many times probably. Then he got in one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, your word, I let down a net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. The net was breaking, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Now, I want you to notice, evidently, they had fished all night. And so the crowd was pressing in. Jesus said, "Hey, row me out here a little bit and I'll teach." And he taught from the boat. And then when it's finished, he told them what to do. Now, they had already fished all night. They'd done all they knew to do. They were commercial fishermen on the lake. Now Jesus told him to launch out in the deep, let down your nets. Now, Jesus told them what to do, then they had to do something. To receive his more, he tells you what to do. In the word, when you do that, you'll receive the more. They believed what Jesus said, and it didn't make much fisherman sense, because this wasn't the time of day to go out and fish. But because they believed what he said, they went out and let down their nets. And they got a net breaking, boat sinking, load of fish. Now they had fished all night in that same water. But when God told them, Jesus told them, they believed it and went out and got it. We've got to believe there is more. God knows that there's more and that there's an abundant supply, and he wants you to have it. He said so in the word. Now look at this. Peter heard what Jesus said about the situation. We've got to hear what God's promises tell us about our situations. It's all in here. Healing, finances, protection, you name it, it's in here. You've got to find it and read it and believe it. He believed what Jesus told him to do. We've got to believe what the promises say, what the word says. Like that message that I learned from my dad that I preached when I was 14 to the youth because the peace speaker didn't show up. Say it, do it, believe it, receive it, tell it. That's what you got to do. Say it, do it, believe it, receive it. tell it. Now, Peter declared. Now, look what Peter declared here, okay? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He is saying, hey, nevertheless, I don't know whether that's going to work or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's really what he's saying. Okay? We've got to declare that we'll take God as his word and do what he says. They went out, pressed into the deep water. That's what we got to do. We got to press forward to get the promises of God. Press on to receive the more. How many of you want the more? How many of you are willing to do what it takes to get the more? That means you got to believe it and press forward to receive it. That means press through whatever there is that's keeping you from receiving. The enemy will give everything he can against you to keep you from receiving. And sometimes it's people speaking the wrong thing, and instead of you continuing to believe, for the more you start to question, the minute you start to question, you're in trouble. Hello? Decide to believe that God has more for you and set yourself ready to receive it. That is as simple as I can talk to you about receiving the promises of God. Everybody hold up your Bible. Sometimes you hold up your device if you don't have your regular Bible. Say this: the Bible says it. I believe it. There is more for me. If I will confess the word, do the word, and receive the more, I will shout and sing and rejoice in my more, because God has more than I've ever had before. And when I get that, he has more. And when I get that, he has more. I am going to get my more, because the word says I can. Stand up and praise God, because you can get your more. You can have more. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I trust you got a hold of what I was trying to say. You got anything you want to sing?
My God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Can you sing that with me? My God.
My God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God.
So watch your word.
So watch your word about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, 'cause by He is.
They didn't know what I was going to preach. I just, sometimes I don't turn around and they say they had something. So I got where I always turn around and see if they got some. If they don't, that's fine. But he had something. Went right along with what I was just talking about, didn't it? More than enough. Hallelujah. If you happen to be with us today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so you can't get in on this more, we want you to know him before you leave here today. If you happen to know what it is to serve God, but you've sort of got off track, taken a detour, you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. I want to pray, if that's you, I want to pray for you and with you. So the only way I can do that is to know who you are. So would you just raise your hand if you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life to God, anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. There's a hand over here somewhere. They're pointing. Ushers are trying to point. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I have another call. You know, you say, I know I'm born again, but I have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they all began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd like to receive that experience this morning, let me see your hand. I'll pray with you. You won't leave here like you come in Jesus' name. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to do something else so I can pray with you like I said I would. I want you to step out in the aisle, come right down here to the front. I'll come down and pray with you. If that's you, anybody in the room, anywhere, come on now. Come on now.
And come as you are.
Anybody else want to come? Come on now.
It really doesn't matter.
Come on now.
How near or how far.
Just come on.
Jesus is
just
ready.
Come on. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. Come on.
So come,
just come on.
Just as you
we're
are.
Waiting. Come on, I'm waiting on you. You're in the balcony, the usher will help you get down here, down those stairs. I'm going to wait. Come on.
Really
if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now.
Jesus,
we'll wait just a little bit longer. If you're coming, come on. Come on, there we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? This is your opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Hallelujah. You just stand here. I got three little books in my hand. One of them called New Birth, telling you about salvation. One of them called In Him, telling you who you are in Christ. One called Why Tongues, telling you about the Holy Spirit. If I said I was going to give these books to you, what do you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. Huh, they're yours. Here, you can have them all. Y'all all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's an exercise I do. I can give you a book. I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. So I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't know which one it was, which one it is. You can raise whichever one you want to raise. Just raise one hand toward heaven. Congregation, reach your hands out as I pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put you down and look at me for just a moment. You see Greg and Christy, that's Pastor Greg and Christy, his wife. They're going to take you to a place we call the prayer room where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Got those three books that we talked about. Would you just turn and go with them to that place right now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Reach your hands out and say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that's going to the prayer room. Thank you that their every spiritual need will be met today, and they won't leave here like they came. Hallelujah. Raise your hands up. Thank God. Thank God.